Morning, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And we read, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." The story of Noah is a story that children learn in Bible class, and yet it is a historical account that the Bible refers to a number of times as historical and factual events. This morning I'd like to title the lesson, Finding Noah. There was recently a documentary movie that showed only one evening, and several of us went to the movie, and it was very interesting. It was an expedition on Mount Ararat of a team of scholars and archaeologists who were seeking to do research and find, if possible, the evidence of supporting the biblical account, and possibly to find the ark itself or remains of the ark itself. So it was very interesting, and I appreciate the dedication of those kind of individuals who are committed to trying to confirm and help verify events found in the Bible as being true and factual and what it says about our faith in God. But this morning I'd like to really talk about Noah himself, the person of Noah. And what was it about Noah that caused him in that world that was so corrupt to be saved by God? Why was it that Noah, out of all of the other people who perished, what was it about Noah and his life that caused him to stand out so that, as the scripture says, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord? What was it that in that day was different about Noah? Why did he stand out from the others, in other words? And the question that I really want to address to each one of us to consider this morning is that, what is there need to be in our lives today, your life and mine, that as we live in a world that is in many ways like the world of Noah's day that is described, very corrupt, so that as God looks on the world, he said the thought of the heart was only evil continually. What is there to be need to be in our lives today that would cause us, for God to look upon us as He did with Noah, that we would be rescued, we would be delivered out of this evil society and generation that we're living in. What kind of people do we need to be? And what kind of person, what was it about Noah that caused him to stand out? So this morning we want to begin by talking about several things that are in the life of Noah. And the first thing that stands out to me is that we find Noah listening to the Lord. Noah was listening to God, and God spoke to him, and Noah listened to what God said. We find that in Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, your sons, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." And dropping down to verse 22, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." You know, it is interesting to me that we live in a time today that there are so many people today who have the idea about God that God really doesn't concern himself. He doesn't really care about details. God isn't interested in specific things of His Word. He just is looking for us to have a good heart, to love the Lord, to love our neighbor. Just very broad, general terms, He's looking for people who acknowledge Him in some way in their lives. And if that is so, why do we find here in this text, in this account, where God spoke to Noah and gave him such specific detailed instructions on what he was to do, how he was to escape from this coming destruction? God looked out upon the earth and he said, "I am going to destroy the earth with a flood. This is what I'm going to do." And he came to Noah and told him this. But he also told him, "Here's what I want you to do, Noah." And he began to give him these instructions. And the thing that impresses me about Noah is that he listened to God and paid attention to these instructions that God was giving him. For example, he told him the exact dimensions of the ark that he was to build. And it was to be based on the measurement of the cubit, which was in those days a common measurement. But it's thought by biblical scholars to be somewhere between about 18 inches and 21 inches. But it is supposed to be the distance from the king's shoulder to the tip of his hand or fingers. Some say it was Noah's own hand that he used as the measurement of this. But by reasonable estimates, this would mean that the ark was 300 cubits long, about 450 feet. That it was 30 feet that it was 30 cubits wide, or 30 cubits wide, which would be about 75 feet wide, and 30 cubits high, or 45 feet. About 4.5 stories. This was a very large ark that God was telling him to build, but with such specific details. He also told him the material that he was to build it out of was the gopher wood. And in the movie, it was suggested that that was probably cypress wood. But it was a specific wood that God was calling for. And it was he was told how many rooms to have, how many levels to have, a door. And it was to be covered within and without with pitch. Very specific instructions about the building and the construction of the ark. And when we get down to the end of this account, the thing that is impressive is what it says, that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Noah was listening to God, and Noah did what God asked him to do. And that is, I believe, why Noah stood out in the way that he did. We're told that he was, had been walking with God, that he was a man that was, in his generations, complete and perfect, and was serving God and walking with God. And so as God looked out at the world of his day, he saw something different about Noah. And when he spoke to Noah, Noah was listening to God and paying attention to the instructions that God was giving him. The question that I would like for you to consider today is, how are you going to be found in this world that we live in today? When God looks at your life and in my life, does He find us listening to Him, to what He says in His Word, that we listen and pay heed and seek to be obedient and doing those things that God has instructed us to do? Here, as we continue on over into the 7th chapter, we find that God again spoke to Noah. And the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are clean, a male and his female, also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And notice what verse 5 again says. "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." But we find that Noah was listening to the Lord and doing what God told him to do. That is the quality of faith of his life that explains what the meaning really is of that he walked with God and found grace and favor with the Lord. Because he was paying attention to what God was saying. And he believed the word of God and followed that in his life. Is that true of you and me today? Is that the kind of life? Is that the kind of person you are? That as God looks at your life, does he find in you that same quality? You're listening to God. You're paying attention to what he is saying in his word. And you're concerned about that, and you try to live your life that way, as God instructs you to. You know, we are told in the book of 1 Peter how that example of Noah relates directly to our obedience. That when it comes to our salvation today, God has given us very specific details. In His Word, He has instructed us, I am going to bring a day of judgment that is going to come when Jesus returns. And here's how you can be saved. So that when that happens, you will be found righteous. And He gives us specific instructions. Peter compares that with the days of the flood in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. He's referring to Noah. And he says that Noah went and preached to the spirits in prison, verse 19, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. And then he makes his point in verse 21. He said, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what Peter is saying, that example of Noah, how he and his family were saved, those 8 souls were saved through water in the days of the flood, that corresponds to what God is giving us instructions how we are to be saved through baptism. And so as we live today in our lives, are we the kind of people that, like Noah, listen to the Word of God and act upon it? God gives us instructions, very specific. Here's how you can be saved. Am I the kind of person that hears and believes that and say, okay, that's how I'm going to live my life? I want to be right with God. Because I believe that what He says is true and that He is coming again. How am I going to be found? How are you going to be found on that day when He comes again? That is the question for all of us to consider. Second thing that we find in Noah that I think is very outstanding about his life is that not only was he listening to the Lord, but he was waiting on the Lord. You know, a lot of times I think people have the idea that Noah, that the only time that they spent there in the ark was 40 days and 40 nights. And because that was the length of time that the rains were coming down. And we look at that and we think, well, that's not so hard. I think I could do that. I could stand 40 days inside that way. But what we don't realize is that the account that is given is much more detailed than that. Because when we read of Noah in Genesis chapter 7, beginning with verse 11, it gives us time indicators of how long this actually was for them to be there in the ark. It said that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. The next verse goes on to say, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. But then, a little later in the text, in verse 24, notice it says, the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. And then, when we come to chapter 8 and verse 4, we read, it said, then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass the end of 40 days after that, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent out a raven. So it goes from the 600th year, the second month, the 17th day, all the way now to the 10th month and the first day, and 40 days after that. And then we come to chapter 8 and verse 13. It said, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Verse 15, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And it was not until then that Noah waited until God told him and his family to leave the ark, that it was safe for them to leave. Look at all this time then that they were waiting on the Lord. The ark came to a rest on the mountains in the 10th month, the first day, or the 7th month, the 17th day, but they continued to be waiting for God to tell them when they could leave. And again, when God spoke to them and gave them the instruction, that's when Noah did what God told him to do. That is why Peter says what he does here in the second chapter of 2 Peter that was read earlier for our scripture reading this morning. Noah not only was listening to God, but waiting on God and trusting in God to guide him. Peter says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And then he concludes this thought in verse 9. He says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So what we find here is that God was looking for people that would trust Him, that He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Whereas others that don't have that trust in God, He holds them under judgment for the time that He is going to bring that judgment to pass. Noah's faith was put to the test here through this experience on the ark. And he trusted in God and waited for God to give him the time when it was right for him to leave. We know that God, during this time of the flood, could have just been so upset with man as a whole, that he could have just destroyed the earth and said, you know what, I'm just going to start over. But he didn't do that. With Noah and his family who trusted in God, God preserved them. God provided a way for them to come through this destruction safely and keep them in a safe place until the world was ready for them to come out into a new world. And Peter is saying God is able to do that. God knows how to deliver people, to preserve the godly in a corrupt world. We're living in a corrupt world today. We're surrounded by it. But what we need to understand is God knows how to deliver the godly from this. If we are the kind of people that listen to God, that wait for Him, He knows how to deliver us in a time like we are living in. And He can bring us through that just like He brought Noah and his family through it. I don't know how many people there were on the earth at that time. Biblical scholars have estimated that around 775 million people were living in the days of Noah. Just 8 people survived the flood. Think about the percentage of that. And yet God preserved them alive. Later on in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, but Lot and his 3 daughters survived. So God knows how to deliver the righteous. He knows which ones are righteous. He is able to look down from heaven and see who are the people who are serving me. And He provides a way to deliver them and rescue them out of the world. And when the time came and when it was safe, God said, "All right, now you can leave the ark." Question for each one of us is, how long are you willing to wait on the Lord in your life? Because sometimes people today, we are very impatient when it comes to God. We want Him to answer our question right now. Why isn't God answering my question? Why isn't He answering our prayers? Are you willing to wait on the Lord and have faith that God has heard your prayer? God hasn't forgotten you. He has promised to be faithful to His who trust in Him. We need to be willing to wait for the Lord. When He comes again, will you be among those who are waiting for His return patiently and faithfully, knowing in your heart that that day is coming? There were people here in the days of Noah that while Noah was preaching, and it says he was a preacher of righteousness, don't forget that. And yet, they either scoffed or they ignored or they mocked what he was saying until the very day that the flood came. And then what was their reaction when they saw those heavens open up and the floods began pouring down? And the Bible says, by that time God had shut the door. What was their thought then about what Noah had been preaching to them? Noah was waiting on the Lord, trusting in Him. And the third thing that I would like to say is, conclusion of the lesson today is, not only was he listening to the Lord and waiting on the Lord, he was blessed by the Lord. Because when we turn to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand.'" God preserved Noah and remembered him. He remembered Noah and he brought him forth into a new world. And God said to Noah, "You have a fresh start again here in this world. I want you to repopulate the earth. And you have the animals, and they are for your food, and there is going to be a covenant that I will make that I will not destroy the earth again with water. And I wonder what Noah was thinking the next time it started raining after that. But he looked up and he saw the rainbow. And he remembered that God had made that promise not to destroy the earth again that way. God was faithful to that promise. He's been faithful to that promise. It was like Noah and his family became the new Adam and Eve in the earth. They alone were there to repopulate the earth. And so God blessed Noah in every way. And He has given that opportunity to us as His people. He's given us the instructions how we can be saved from this corrupt world that we live in. He's given us the assurance that He's coming again and wants us to be waiting for that time to come. And He's given us the instruction how we are to be living in this world that He has remade and given us a new life through Jesus Christ, the kind of life that we are to be living that is to be different, so that God will bless us in our life today. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 24 about that generation, how there are going to be people living in our day to day just like in the days of Noah. Just that same kind of attitude that the people of that day had. He said in Matthew 24 and verse 37, as He was preparing them for the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem and things that were happening that day, but also pointing to the coming again that He has promised. He said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Same kind of attitude is going to be. And what's going to happen to those people? It's going to be the same thing, even worse than what happened to those that weren't listening to God in the days of Noah. Because at this time, it's not going to be by water, it's going to be by fire and destruction, as 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, that God, not only if He has the power to create this world, He has the power to destroy it. But He has the power to preserve His people and bring us into a new heaven and a new earth. And He says in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking about Noah and his faith, He says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." How does that kind of faith come in our lives? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do we have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith today? That listening to the Word of God, doing what God tells us to do, waiting patiently for God to work out His promises, seeking, knowing that God will bless those who are faithful to Him because He is a righteous God. How willing are you? How will you be found on that day when the Lord comes again? God has said he's going to destroy the world. Jesus is going to come. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Will we be prepared in that day? He sounded the warning well in advance in the days of Noah. He gave them plenty of warning. He gives people today plenty of warning of what's coming. He tells us how we can be escaped from this, what we can do to be saved. Very specific. He tells us that we need to believe in Jesus Christ, and that He is the Son of God, that we would be willing to confess our faith before others. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to repent and turn away from our sins and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And come up and live as a faithful servant of God and faithful follower of Jesus Christ until the day He comes again. This morning, if you are here and you are subject to that invitation of the Lord, He is calling each one of us to live by faith, to walk with God. As Chuck said, raise your hand. Be willing to stand out from the crowd. That's exactly what we need to do, that kind of people. So that when the day comes, we will be found in the grace of God and the favor of the Lord as Noah was. If you're subject to that invitation, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
And you are as weary.